Hello, everyone. This is your host, Anderson Silver, with the most stretched out, convoluted podcasting schedule ever. It's almost mid-April, April 12th, and I still got two chapters left to read, man. Damn. I'm doing my best. So, two chapters left. I will begin posting the episodes actually in 2 days, so you should have heard the first release by April, let's say 14th, 15th. But anyways, right now, in this moment, I'm going to do my best to read to you chapter 14, Necessities and the Purpose of Life, from my first book, Your User's Manual, that kind of launched Anderson Silver's author career, I guess, which is not a very long career. But hey, here we are. All right. The brilliant author Leo Tolstoy postulated at the end of his most famous novel and a work of art, War and Peace, that everyone essentially wants the same thing, that is, to be free. Free from burden and free from pain and free from suffering. He then points out that there is a direct and inverse relationship between freedom and necessities. He puts forth that the perception of necessity, needing or wanting something, creates the lack of perceived freedom. The more we need, the more we are burdened, the more we suffer from work, worry, and anxiety, and therefore the less freedom we have from the burden, pain, and suffering. If you consider the life Diogenes lived, tranquil and burden-free, this certainly makes sense. After all, the universe ultimately demands very little of us. Food, water, and sleep is all the universe absolutely requires from us. There's a footnote here. One might argue that this is not taking into account the meteorological conditions of where one lives. I.e., if you live in a Nordic country, you would also require a shelter with a fireplace so as not to freeze to death, right? However, the universe does not prevent you from relocating to a more habitable climate. And so this, quote, shelter and fire in a cold climate, quote, is not a requirement imposed by the universe, but the individual's requirement for wanting to live in a climate that does not naturally support human life. So with that in mind, again, the universe demands just food, water, and sleep from us. Therefore, anything you believe you need over and above these basic necessities is superficial, unnecessary, and a construct of your own imagination. The imagination is often molded by society, its norms, marketing, etc. But it is still your own imagination, nonetheless, that decides what you think you need. You complicate your life for nothing and suffer the anxieties and work that comes with it for nothing. Do you need to travel right now? Do you need to buy more stuff? Do you need to make more money? Do you need more glorified titles? Do you need to eat fancy expensive foods or drink fancy expensive drinks? Do you need a luxury car? Unless it's a Mustang, you always need a Mustang. Do you need to have a cloud-like bed to sleep on or a large house to sleep in? Quote, as far as I'm concerned, I know that I have lost not wealth, but distractions. The body's needs are few. It wants to be free from cold, to banish hunger and thirst with nourishment. If we long for anything more, we are exerting ourselves to serve our vices, not our needs. End quote. Lucius Annius Seneca. Simplicity is one of the keys to a more free and tranquil life. The more simple the life, the fewer the needs and wants, the less work to attain it and upkeep it, and the less anxiety that comes with all of it. With respect to basic necessities, nature demands very little from you. And the more you want beyond that, the more complicated and stressful and less free your life becomes. This would explain why so many ancient philosophers were minimalists, to the point where some were even homeless by choice. Even the philosopher's cloak, which is so iconic of ancient philosophers and a symbol of wisdom in the modern world, was simply the minimum garment required for modesty and protection from elements. It is, after all, a small piece of long fabric that is wrapped around the waist and an extra bit flung over the shoulder. Quote, no person has the power to have everything they want, but it is in their power not to want what they do not have, and to cheerfully put to good use what they do have. End quote. Lucius Annius Seneca. Your guiding principle of what is spiritually necessary for you must have to do with what you do here. But to answer the what you do here, you need to first answer why you are here. And so your guiding principle must necessarily be based on your purpose in life. Then naturally, the next question is, what is the purpose in life? The universe always has and always will do what it is going to do. There is no changing its will, no alternate reality where things are different. In order to have a tranquil life, one must accept what fate has and will bestow upon them. Therefore, the rational, ordinary mind recognizes that a good guiding principle must be in line with the will of the universe. Put otherwise, your guiding principle must be in line with your purpose in life as defined and dictated by the universe. The second law of thermodynamics states that when energy changes from one form to another form, or matter moves freely, entropy, or disorder, in a closed system increases. We have observed this law in many systems, including the largest system known to us, the universe. The early universe appears to have been in thermal and chemical equilibrium, also known as low entropy state. And yet today, matter is scattered everywhere in an uneven manner. Things keep exploding, imploding, colliding, and in general becoming more disordered. The universe is simply trying to reach the highest level of entropy it can. Therefore, if you ask the magnificent universe what your purpose in life is, the simple answer is that the purpose of everything contained within it is to help the universe attain a higher level of entropy. More specifically, for you and all animal life on this planet, the purpose of life is to hydrogenate carbon dioxide. Congratulations. Beyond this chemical reaction that takes in carbon dioxide, a lower entropy molecule, and turns it into methane amongst other compounds that get released through this reaction, a higher state of entropy, the universe has no other purpose for us. But do not feel snubbed by the universe, as this rule applies to everything else contained within it. Everything exists today because a higher level of entropy was reached from a lower one, creating the matter we see today. And everything that exists today will contribute to a higher level of entropy for the future. So when you ask the almighty magnificent universe what your purpose in life is, the answer is not only grossly underwhelming, but also lacking. It is not enough, as it is only concerned with the physical and ignores your need for a purpose in the conscious realm of your life. Fulfilling the universe's unbreakable three rules does not take the entirety of your time. Once you are rested, eaten, and have had adequate intake of water, all to fuel your body, that is, the machine that hydrogenates carbon dioxide, you have all this spare time left. Time spent conscious and self-aware. And so you need a purpose for your free, conscious, and self-aware time. You need a spiritual purpose beyond the physical. This means that your spiritual purpose in life that is beyond what the universe physically demands from you must also come as a construct of your imagination as it transcends the physical. You must decide in your own mind what is your purpose. Ask yourself what your subjective needs are outside your objective reality. What is necessary for you to be happy and proud of your life? Is it the pursuit of money, power, titles, social gatherings, a devotion to a personalized God, becoming a positive agent for change, living in harmony with your environment, the pursuit of a tranquil life such that on your deathbed you can be at peace? Whatever it might be, it will be unique to every person, and so you must find your own spiritual basic necessities. As you look inward for the answer regarding your purpose in life, do not rush it, and do not look for answers elsewhere. Getting external recommendations for a purpose in life will simply unduly influence you and keep you from identifying the true necessities that you seek. Avoid outside influences at all costs, or at the very least, do not follow them blindly. Once you find your true basic spiritual necessities, as identified objectively by yourself, you will be able to live your days in a type of harmony and peace you never felt before, as you will no longer have the feeling of fear that you are wasting your days or living life the wrong way. To help you in your search for your unique spiritual basic necessities, referred to as necessities going forward for simplicity's sake, here are some guidelines you can follow. But remember, you have to identify them, okay? These are just trying to keep you on the right track. 1. Your necessities must be decided on objectively. Question everything. Do not accept necessities that have been imposed on you by your parents, preachers, teachers, society, television, school, Buddha, Seneca, Anderson, anyone. You must define your necessities objectively, consciously, and conscientiously. 2. As you evaluate your subjective needs, consider your objective reality. Make sure your necessities are realistic. You may want to help the starving children of Africa. However, due to logistics and finances, you simply cannot. 3. Every day is death, and any day could be your final death. Therefore, you must live your life day by day, as you die every day. If you want to be tranquil, you must be ready to die in peace at any given moment. Memento mori. Given that fulfilling our necessities should be granting you peace of mind on your deathbed, your necessities cannot be set out to accomplish something in the future. A necessity, therefore, must necessarily be something that can be accomplished daily. This one's very important. This part's not in the book. I'm just talking to you now, in case you're not watching the video and you're just listening. This one's very important. We tend to get lost in long-term objectives. I gotta get that job. I gotta get that house. I gotta lock down that mortgage. That investment's gotta work out. I have to fix this. I have to do that. Oh, if I can just finish this. We're always thinking in the future. You have to figure out necessities that are in your day so you can go to sleep every night peacefully. This is a key one. Okay, getting back to it. Here we go. 4, your necessities are yours. You must be able to accomplish them should you choose to, regardless of external factors. Therefore, they cannot be linked to fate or the universe. It cannot be related to anything external to you, including loved ones, careers, or materials. Your necessities must be internal, under your control, which means they must be 100% subject to only your judgments, choices, and actions. So, let me repeat the last two. 3, your necessities must be accomplished within the day, or something that can be accomplished within the day. 4, it should be something that can be accomplished by you. It should not be dependent on anything, on money, on others, on favors. So, necessarily, it has to be something that is either touching your judgments, your choices, or your actions, not results. Okay, 2 more to go. 5, you must periodically reevaluate your necessities as they may, on occasion, change over time. If, however, they change too often, you have not identified your true necessities. True necessities will be deeply rooted within you, touching back to your core ethics, morals, and values. If your core is rapidly changing, that means they are superficial and that you are distracting yourself as you are still afflicted from not having found your true necessities. And finally, 6, make a list of your old necessities and keep them right next to your new ones. When you write down and see what you used to live for in the past, it will remind you what you do not want to be and the falsehoods you used to believe in. This will help you better identify your necessities and stay in compliance with them. Again, side note, I'm not reading this one book right now. This last one is also very important because we are surrounded by things that want to make us the old way, right? Get us back into our old habits. We develop those habits because we were surrounded by external factors that were driving us towards those bad habits. So you need to make sure you have a list of your old wrong necessities always right there in front of your eye to know that they are wrong. So as your autopilot tries to shift direction towards these things, you go, oh, no, I know that this is not the right thing. Whew. All right, I need to go meditate. Okay, back to the book. As a point of clarification, you may and should have long-term goals if they fit within your necessities. However, if you do remind yourself that the human effort is not entirely efficient. So long-term goals might work out or might not. As hard as you try, there will always be more variables controlled by the universe than you. And so, do not live by your goals and measure success based on their outcomes. Measure success on your moral good and whether you set out to do what you objectively, consciously, and conscientiously identified as being the right thing, i.e. your necessity. With your necessities identified and written down, the direction becomes clear and the rules of engagement defined. Now, go live that good life, one day at a time, and make the good choices. Quote, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how," end quote. Friedrich Nietzsche, Captain Mustachio himself, and we will end on that with one chapter left to go. We'll see if we squeeze a Q&A at the end of the season. Depends how many questions we get with the previous Q&As. One more left to record. I'm excited. I'm not going to talk much more anymore. It was a long episode. Love you guys. I really appreciate you guys reaching out. Everyone that's communicating with me. Thank you. Thank you all. Namaste. Have a great day.